Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson, your health watchman. Thank you for checking us out here today. And on the show today, we're going to give this question is, do Christians need to keep the law? And I'm saying Christians, but really the question is, does anyone really need to keep the law? And when we hear the word law, that's the word we're used to hearing when we talk about scriptures. We hear this topic of law versus grace. And if you heard my show before, you understand it's not law versus grace. It's law with grace, because they're not one or the other. You can't have one without the other. The confusion here is, folks, is the word law. When we hear the word law, we think that it's a law, but it's not. The law is really in Scripture. The word is Torah, which means guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And that is what we're talking about here. So do Christians need to keep the Torah? Well, when we hear that, most Christians will say, well, that's for Jewish people. We don't need to keep something that's Jewish. Well, we think about that, and we think, is it really for the Jewish people? No. According to the Bible, the Torah is for Israel, all of Israel. And some people that don't have the knowledge of the scriptures really well will think, well, Israel is the Jewish people. And no, I will submit to you and tell you, if you read your scriptures, you will see Israel is every person that proclaims Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as Messiah. And that Torah, or the law, is for everyone that proclaimed Yeshua as Messiah, because that's what he taught and led us to, and that's what his life was about. He's known as the living Torah, or the living guidelines and instructions of the scriptures. And that's exactly what the Torah is. It doesn't mean law, folks. It means guidelines and instructions. And one of the reasons why we have such confusion today is because our Creator has not opened this information up, their eyes up to this information. So that's one reason. And another reason is people just aren't reading their scriptures. So two things have to happen for us to come to realize and see that we need to be keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. First, we got to start reading His Word and not just listening to somebody else what they're telling us about it. We have to actually read it so we know what it is saying. And then the next thing that has to happen is when we are ready, not on our timing, but on our Creator's timing, He will open up our eyes to see this, you know, because it says many that is given is much more responsibility and is a greater reward. So this takes a lot of work to understand this, or a lot of responsibility to understand, to have your eyes open to the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And with that responsibility does come great rewards, but it's our Creator that's going to open that when we seek. He says, if you seek, you will find. So we seek Him by reading His Word, getting to know more about Him, and we will find Him. The problem is here today is when we look at where people spend most of their time today and what they spend most of the time with. And we think about, the idea of our Creator, or the idea of God today. See, there's only one Creator, but there are many different gods. And what God do we choose to spend most of our time with? You know, most Christians will just go to church one day a week on Sunday, and then they'll forget about our Creator every other day of the week in their actions. It says a person is known by their fruit. And I said most. I didn't say all. There are some righteous that consistently have Him on their mind. But when we look at their actions, no, they only open up their Bible one day a week, and if that at so. So we got to think about this and think about where we're spending most of our time, and why hasn't our Creator opened up our eyes to this information that's already in His words that many of us have read. And even today, I'm going to show you where it says it in His Word of who needs to be keeping His guidelines and instructions, His Torah, or as many Christians say, His law. And still, many of you might not see it because you're just not ready to see it. You're not seeking enough, and He hasn't opened up your eyes enough. So we think about this, and we think about how much time does the average believer, or so-called believer, spend their time going to church or going to fellowship in an assembly or a congregation, seeking our Creator, reading His Word, spending it in prayer, versus how much time they spend watching TV or playing video games or checking out things on Facebook and YouTube that aren't righteous. How much time are we spending in these things? What type of investment are we making when we think about these things? Do we invest our time in His Word so we can get the reward of our eyes being opening to see these things? And you could just look at the world today, and you look at a big sports event. You could see 50,000 people watching a basketball team play a game. And I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with watching a basketball team play a game. But when you do that and you say you don't have time to read our Creator's Word and pray to our Creator, then there's a problem. When you spend more time watching that game than you do reading your Bible, then there's an issue. So we need to prioritize our time and seek if we want to find. So we got to think, how much energy do we actually give Him or go towards that? And we're going to look at that today, and we're going to look at some scriptures. And the first scripture we're going to look at here today is Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you then were in darkness, but are now light in the Master. Walk as children of light." So for believers that have come to see Yeshua's, they are told to walk as children of light. So we need to be walking as light. You see, when we're living in the world, we're living in pure darkness. And Yeshua is that light. And we could become part of a light in the darkness. 5:9 of Ephesians says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So there's three things: goodness and righteousness and truth. And we think, what are those three things? Well, goodness according to who? According to your own idea of what good is? Because a lot of people say, well, I'm a good person, but I'll tell you there's a scripture that says there's a way before each person seems right, but ends in death. So it's not just being about a good person according to your own ideas of what good is. It's called to be a good person according to what our Creator calls good. And then we can only find that to understand righteousness. Righteousness is living right according to His ways, not our ways. And His ways are His guidelines and instructions, His Torah, which many Christians today refer to as the law. And then finally it says truth. So we got goodness, righteousness, and truth. And it's the scripture that said, "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And yes, that truth is Yeshua, who points us to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Ephesians 5:10 says, "And you must discern what is acceptable before our Master." To discern what is acceptable before our Master. Now, remember that word discern, because we're going to get back to that in 1 second. Then 5:11 of Ephesians says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather condemn them." And that's a whole nother teaching on that topic. But going back to 5:10, it says, "You must discern what is acceptable before our Master." And going prior to that, goodness, righteousness, and truth is how you're going to know what it is to discern. And then having no fellowship, really meaning, it doesn't mean you can't talk to these non-believers or these people that aren't producing good fruit. You could certainly teach with them. Yeshua ate with the sinners, but have no fellowship with them or partake in their unfruitful works of darkness. So we could be a light in that darkness, but don't decide to become a darkness in that darkness. So let's get back to the word discern, folks. Discern, to understand the difference between good and evil, righteousness and sin. That is what discerning is. And how could we discern if we don't know the instructions or the guideline? Let's look at Jeremiah 31:33 when we think of this this topic. 31:33 of Jeremiah says, "But this is a new covenant." And by the way, that word is really renewed. It's not new. It's a renewed covenant. So this is a renewed covenant I will make with the people of Israel, that on this day, says Yahweh, our Creator, I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, their God, and they will be my people. So I will put the instructions on my heart. He didn't say he would throw away the instructions. He didn't say he would throw away the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, which many Christians refer to as the law. He didn't say, "I'm throwing away the law." He said, "I'll put it on their heart." So that's it. He will put it on our heart. And so now Galatians 3:25 says, "And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian." And this says guardian, some people says as our trainer, some people says our teacher, some people says as our schoolmaster. So basically what we just covered and what it said is the renewed covenant, or people refer to it as a new covenant, as in Jeremiah says, you know, there comes a time where man will not need the written word, because I will put it on their heart and they will automatically have it. And when that time comes, they will no longer need the study guide. the instructions, the schoolmaster, the teacher, the trainer, because it'll be on their heart and they'll automatically live it at that time. You know, there are many Christians right now that they mistakenly say to me, well, I accepted Yeshua, so automatically I have his word on my heart and I automatically follow his instructions. Well, I don't know the deception that's taken place because their actions are not following the instructions, actually living against the instructions, against them. So I don't know what spirit they're listening to, but it's not the spirit of our Creator, because if any spirit it tells you to do something that's contradictory to his word, it's not the spirit of Messiah. So this is what's going to happen in Jeremiah 31. It'll be on our heart. And I will say, not even for the deceived Christian whose eyes haven't been opened yet, I'll say even for the person like myself who desires to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, that this has not happened yet, where the Torah has come off paper and put on our heart. It will happen, but it has not happened yet. So we need the written word to still discern and understand until this happens. Jeremiah 31, 34, and this is how I know it hasn't happened yet. Jeremiah 31, 34 says, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know our Creator. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says our Creator Yahweh. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. We are in a time right now where we continually have to teach each other. We continually have to learn from each other. This is why even the rabbis spent so much time continually learning and studying the Torah and the guidelines of our Creator. Because we are not there yet. So, you know, Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself up for our sins so he might deliver us out of the present evil age according to the will of Elohim our Father. So if we are not there yet, where are we? We're at a place where he died for us so he could deliver us or take us out of this evil age, this evil time. And there's this time that is coming where we will be so righteous that it'll be on our heart and we'll automatically be living these things. We have to remember, folks, that Yeshua died for everyone. The ones that desire to keep his word, the holy and the unholy, the ungodly. Romans 5:6 says, for we yet being without strength in due time, Messiah died for unrighteous ones. So yes, he did die for everyone. There is the answer. If we're not there yet where we automatically have the instructions and the guidelines in our heart, well, where are we? Well, we're at a place where he died for us and we could accept his blood to cover us. But it says, but he only forgives those who actually repent. And you could look at my other teachings. I have a whole study with the word repent and repentance. Repentance, repent and accept Yeshua. That's what it's about. That is the model of Scripture. We need to repent, turn from our evil ways, turn from evil desires. It's those who he forgives, the ones that repented, not only those that accept Yeshua. You have to repent. Acts 3:19 says, now repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh that your sins may be wiped away. So here it is, folks, and here's what it's about. The penalty of our sins, which was the death sentence, that's what Yeshua set us free from. And that is what is forgiving through Yeshua's death. But we are saved through Yeshua's life. And he is the living Torah. And it's the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the Torah, the commandments. That's what saves us. You know, he set us free in dying for us, but we're saved through our repentance. And repentance is changing the way we act and changing the way we live so we get right with his word. And then when we get there to a certain place and he opens our eyes and we start studying the word and we know how to live, there will come a time where we won't even need to study the word anymore. It will become part of us. But it's not there yet. And until that time, we need to keep in the word. We need to keep studying the word so we can discern between good and evil. Romans 5:10 says, for if while being enemies, we were reconciled to Elohim through the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Don't despise Yeshua's sacrifice by being an idolater, folks. For Yahweh will render to each man according to his deeds. As it says in Romans, we need to understand that. We need to get that right. Romans 2:6, it says, he will judge everyone according to what they have done. according to their actions, he will judge everyone. And we're going to continue reading through Romans, the second Romans, Romans 2:7. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor of the immorality that Yeshua offers. But they got to keep doing good. Underline, folks, that word keep doing. Keep doing. We don't use Yeshua's death as an excuse to live against the guidelines and instructions. No, we use them as a reason to say, hey, he died for me, so I'm going to get right with his word, and I'm going to do this. Romans 2:8, but he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey, and for those of you that call me legalist, underline the word obey, who refuse to obey the truth, and instead live lives of wickedness. Wickedness, 1 John 3:4 in the Bible, is sin, according living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So it's not that you're free from the law. Those that say they don't need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, that is wickedness in Scripture. Romans 2:9 says, there will be troubling and calamity for everyone who keeps doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So this is for everyone. Regardless you call yourself Israel or not, every single person that desires to live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, against the Torah, breaking the law, it says right here, you know, if you keep doing evil, there will be trouble and calamity coming to you. Romans 2:10 goes on to say, but there will be glory and honor and peace from our Creator for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Every single person that is Israel that has accepted Yeshua as their Messiah, it says there will be glory and honor and peace for all who do good. What is doing good according to our Creator? Well, we read it earlier when we read Ephesians 5:9, and it says, it's the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And there it is. Doing good is doing the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And it says it's for the Jewish person and for the Gentile. Romans 2:11, it says, for Yahweh does not show favoritism. He does not show one group of people versus the other. Every single person has to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That is what righteousness is. That's what is good. Doing good is. Romans 2:12. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had Yahweh's written law. And as for the Jewish who do have his written law, they will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. Every single person has his opportunity to read the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. For those that have never seen it before and those that have had seen it, you're all going to be judged the same way according to your deeds. Those that do good or do bad, that's what it says. Let's go on to 2:13 of Romans. For merely listening to the law, the guidelines, the instruction, and the instruction in the Torah doesn't make us right with Yahweh. I want you all to listen to that again. For merely listening to his instructions or his Torah doesn't make us right with Yahweh. It is obeying the instructions that make us right in his sight. This is written to the believers, the Jewish people, the non-Jewish people, everyone that believes in Yeshua, all of Israel. This is what's believing. For merely listening does not make us right. It is obeying that makes us right in his sight. This is coming in the future, folks, and we're going to see it now. This is what the future is going to hold. Romans 2:14. Even Gentiles who do not have our Creator's written word. And this was up to that point because they were presented with it once they became believers and opened up the scriptures. So for every person out there, Gentile does not mean non-Jewish person, by the way. Gentile means heathen, non-believer. That's what it means. But once you're giving the word, you have it. It says, so even Gentiles or even non-believers, not talking about Jewish people or non-Jewish people, even non-believers, everyone, even them, they don't have his written word. It says, will know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without hearing it. That's not happened yet, and that will happen. That is the excuse right there Christians use. They say, I don't need to read his Old Testament law. I don't need to read the Bible. His Spirit speaks to me. No, his Spirit would not tell you to do something that goes against his guidelines and instructions. Romans 2:15. They demonstrate our Creator's law. It is written on their heart. Their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. That is where we will be. even the believers, even the Torah keepers, even the people that do the Hebraic roots, even the Christians that proclaim they're righteous, we need to study his guidelines and instructions because we are not there yet. Yes, there are moral laws of the world today. The moral laws, don't kill, don't steal, don't do all these things that anyone with a sensible mind is going to know what's right from wrong in that area. Instinctively, we will do what's right, but not because it's from our Creator, because it's moral. You know, and the problem is there are some people that don't even consider them moral laws, and because they do these things and they don't see anything wrong with them. But the time that's coming in the future says that we will demonstrate the word or the law that has been put on our heart, and through our own conscience, you know, we will know when we're doing wrong by our instincts. Folks, breaking our Creator's guidelines and instruction is doing wrong. Breaking the commandments is doing wrong. We need to repent. If we break those commandments, we need to have remorse. You know, we need to be thankful that, you know, we are not perfect. We are all sinners. And we need to be thankful for the grace and mercy of our wonderful Creator, who is for those that actually have remorse for those times when they missed a mark. But those that hate his word, those that desire to live against it, even those that are deceived against it, there's consequences for living in sin. We need to understand this truth. We need to see this, because this is not what's being taught today. Our Creator wants us to follow his truth, folks. He wants us to follow his words. Ezekiel 33:11 says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. And we hear wicked people, and believers and Christians might think wicked people, that just means people in jail or sinners. And back then the tax collectors, no. Wicked people, according to our Creator's words, whether we've been deceived or whether we're purposely, willfully doing it, is somebody who is not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. The Torah, the words of our Creator. That's what wickedness is, according to his word. Now, yes, there are people that have a great heart. They truly love our Creator. They're just deceived. But it's still called wickedness, and there are still consequences. We need to get right with his word. He takes no pleasure with the death of wicked people. Wicked people will die according to his word. He says, I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life, so they can have Yeshua, so it can become part of them. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth? So our Creator wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And he says in the scriptures, to know the truth shall set you free. And Yeshua says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And our Creator wants everyone to know who he is, what he came for, that he died for us to set us free, that we would study his word, the schoolmaster, the teacher, the guidance, whatever you want to call it, that we would continue to study his word and get to know him. Because when you love somebody or something, you know, you do anything to continue to learn as much as possible about that person. And he wants us to study and learn. Look, when you fall in love with somebody, you don't just take for granted, oh, well, I'm in love with that person, but I'm not going to look at anything about that person because... No, you're going to try to find out everything possible about that person because you want to find a way to please them. You want to find a way to please them. Well, if we truly love our Creator, folks, we should desire and seek to find a way to please him. Hallelujah means praise our wonderful Creator. So we need to find that way to please him. It's his goal. It's his will for us to do so. And that way is whether you call yourself a Christian, whether you call yourself a Jewish person out there, whatever you call yourself, the way to please him according to his word. He says it over and over again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now there's a misconception in the church today that says, well, you know, we keep his commandments, but his commandments were changed. No, they weren't changed. We already discussed it. Jeremiah says it comes off a paper and on our hearts. It didn't say it's changed during that process. Some people say, well, there's only 10 commandments. No, there's more than 10 commandments. Some people say, well, it's been dummied down to 2 commandments. No, it hasn't been dummied down to 2 commandments. And some people say, well, we can't possibly keep all of them. Well, first of all, we don't have to keep all of them because there's many that do not apply to us today. But the ones that do apply, we don't make an excuse not to do them. And even though the ones that do apply, in those times when we miss the mark, that's what Yeshua is when he covers our sins. But not for those that purposely reject his guidelines and instructions, saying, we don't need to follow these anymore. No. He says it very clear in Psalms 5:5, where I hate workers of iniquity. You do the word practice. You practice righteousness. Practice makes perfect. But if you practice sin, it's not something that just happens every now and then. It's something you do on a daily basis. So we need to read his guidelines and instructions on a daily basis and get right with his word if we want him to be right with us. Hallelujah. We're not perfect, folks. We need his sacrifice. We need his blood to free us from this dark age, from these dark times, so we can see the light. Then we need something to be part of the be the light. And that's what's coming, where it automatically it would be on our hearts. Hallelujah that he could set us free, and he died for us and gave us what we never deserved. I come here today, everybody, in the name of Yeshua, and I thank you for listening to these important words and this important message. And I encourage you to go out there and let people know, but stop thinking that you're a Christian or you're this and you don't need to follow the words of our Creator. You're not free from the law, folks. You got to get that understand. You know, you have Yeshua's who died for you so you could have life. But the law is not the law, as they say in the church today. It's a guideline and instructions to Torah. So remember, the Bible doesn't start in Matthew. The Bible starts in Genesis. That's Bereshit. That means beginning. And that's what the Torah. And the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, is the foundation of all scripture. So you go there, you turn to Genesis, and you pray to our wonderful Creator that he would open your eyes and to see things that you've never seen before in his Torah. In Timothy, it says, all scripture is profitable for man. When he wrote that, there was no renewed covenant. It was all the Torah. Yeshua went in the synagogue every Sabbath to teach the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Hallelujah.
For listening, you can join us every morning at 6 a.m. for prayer on our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. And every Friday night at 8 p.m., we do live fellowship. You can join us there on the YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for watching, everybody, and listening. And have a blessed day today and always. And shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry. Show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.